guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
I can't disagree with that.
Jackpot!
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Patriots, according to Darren Revelle of ESPN, have bought two planes. They have bought two wide-body Boeing 767s. And there's a picture that's been released that is making the rounds on the web, and now you're seeing it on the simulcast, that if you are a Patriots fan, you basically have a Boeing 767 in your pants
right
now.
That is pretty awesome.
You have a jumbo jet in your trousers.
Look at the Lombardi trophies on the tail. That's awesome.
So they've bought two 767s, and they have painted one red, white, and blue with the Patriots logo on the side of the body with the Flying Elvis logo, and then on the tail, the five Lombardi trophies. And if that's not the prettiest plane you've ever seen in your life, what is, Murray? You're beaming.
Oh, that thing's badass.
And it's about time. I'm surprised this hasn't happened before. Bands have had planes forever. Zeppelin
NBA
used to have
them
back in the day.
Tons of NBA teams have them.
They're all planes?
But I think it's a, you know, how many players are on an NBA team versus how many players
that's
are on a football
team. That's not the equation. How many road games are there in the NBA?
Oh, right.
You're making, you know, if preseason playoffs, you're making 60 whatever trips. The NFL, you make 10 and then whatever the playoffs are. So generally, NFL teams, in fact, they're the only NFL team that owns their own plane. Now they have two planes. But that paint job, I mean, to tell you, if you don't want to take that into the bathroom right now and have a moment with yourself, I don't know, then you're not a fan. Because look, that is just,
They must be selling a lot of $12 beers.
That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, so let me just read the story, because there's some interesting details in it. Sources tell ESPN that the reigning Super Bowl champions bought two 767 Boeing wide-body jets in the offseason and retrofitted them with all first-class seats, some of which recline completely. On the outside of at least one of the planes is the team logo and five Lombardi's trophies on the tail. That's the picture you're seeing right now. These planes, depending on miles flown and their condition, generally cost between $5 million and $65 million. That's quite a spread. So we don't know what they went for. A source said the planes the Patriots bought are extended range, which allows the planes to fly nonstop for about 12 hours. So they can obviously get to London. A brand new 767 costs $200 million, but it's not specified whether these planes are new or used. Take it they were used, so they're somewhere between $5 and $65 million. Revelle writes that one plane will be used as the main plane for the season, while the other will be the backup. I'll get to the backup in a second. With flight operations being run out of Providence, Rhode Island. NFL teams haven't thought much about buying their own planes in the past with only 10 games on the road, Hook.
Yeah, thank you.
But charter travel has gotten more expensive over the past couple of years due to the major carriers starting to retire bigger planes that fly the teams around. In fact, American Airlines said last year it would no longer fly the Cardinals, Ravens, Colts, and a bunch of teams. At least two of those teams, the Steelers and the Dolphins, took their business to charter-only airlines, sources said. The rising cost of charter flights for NFL teams makes the decision to buy a plane somewhat easier. Sources with knowledge of the deals say teams have done with charter companies say that 10 round-trip flights per season can cost up to $4 million. So if it costs you $4 million a year to do it, and let's just say the plane costs you $12 million, in 3 years you made your money back, and then you're flying for free, you know. I mean, you know what I mean. Okay, so the two planes. They only need one plane for the team. Those wide-body 767s can take the whole team. You don't need the second plane for the teams. What do you need the second plane for? Any of my very wealthy Patriots fans out there who are listening who've taken the junket to the Super Bowl, any of you guys done that out there? Think they charge for that? The very last paragraph of the story. The Patriots will allow for the planes to be rented out during the season when they are not needed for team travel. It is not known how aggressively the team will seek to make up some of its costs by advertising the team's availability.
I think we already know with this article.
That's not known. So the second plane, some games have friends and family can come, right? They'll let the family travel for one game, so maybe it's used for something like that. There's always sponsors, right? Buy a sponsorship, get a trip on the Patriots team plane or the Gonzo bus, at least the second plane, right? Like I remember in the past there's been some friction over the amount of sponsors they've had in those planes sometimes. And players come off of a tough game and they're sitting around with, you know, just Dennis Drinkwater, you know, just to say a name. I'm not saying that he's been on them or not, but, you know, big-time sponsors, do they fly him out? Then there's all the junkets that you have for the Super Bowl and other things. So that second plane can easily be a commercial vehicle, which wouldn't surprise me if it is, and it's not. I'm not knocking them for it.
Well, it'd be better business for them. I mean, I saw my Hardy and I saw ourselves at the Super Bowl, one of the parties we went to that was specifically a Patriots party. I looked around like, how did they fly all these people in here? Friends, family, sponsors. So now that they have this, you know, they can sell it, but they'll probably save themselves money doing it too.
But either way, that paint job, woof.
Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Oh, my God. So just get a gander of that if you haven't seen it yet. Oh, in fact, someone who won't be flying on the Patriots team charter ever is Carlton and Norwell.
Hey, no matter how bad Gostkowski is, his job is safe because he was smart enough not to destroy his cell phone like Brady did. Go back and read the Gostkowski section of the Wells report.
Good point.
But, the fact that the Patriots have purchased their new planes is just proof positive that they're circling the drain. Those planes are equipped with smart toilets to measure the player's hydration based on what they leave behind.
Hold on. Is that true?
It's in the article. And it also allows all 53 team members to flush their phones down the toilet all at one time. In addition, they're equipped with surveillance equipment to fly over other teams' practices. And any team stupid enough to rent one of those planes might as well turn their entire playbook over to the Patriots because they're equipped with the best bugs known to the CIA. But while you guys are looking at the planes, the Patriots' new toys, the Buffalo Bills signed Anquan Boldin, they're coming for you guys.
Okay, this is Carlton's new cause.
Does not know how to read an article, clearly.
Because I didn't see anything about the toilets.
2 years late in the article, way down, it's talking about other kind of planes that have been built. 2 years later, a Russian aircraft maker built a concept plane which had features including a smart toilet that measured an athlete's state of hydration and sensors in seats that could detect an athlete's physiological changes. So basically, they're just talking about other planes. Carlton skipped over all the part that had anything to do with the Patriots.
Shocker.
Still 2 days in a row. He's working blue with the scatological humor.
No, but he's...
Now just trying to work poop in.
But now he's... the Buffalo. Get ready to hear a lot...
This Buffalo thing is laughable.
Get ready to hear a lot about the Bills from Carlton until they go 1-5 to start the year. Here's Dan in Linfield. Go, Dan.
Yeah, I don't care what the statistics say, and I'm usually the biggest Pats cheerleader, but their defense last year was not good. If you look back, I looked the other day at the quarterbacks they played, Whitehurst, Goff, Kaepernick, whoever Big Ben's backup was, Tyrod Taylor a couple times, they were horrible. And then Houston totally outplayed us in the playoffs. We just got lucky because Osweiler sucked. And then we saw what happened when we faced a real defense against Atlanta, so... But all right, what's going on? How's the defense looking this
year? Okay, so hold on. Let me do this. Because the Patriots defense may be, it will be, one of the topics in 10 questions.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You guys are in deep, deep trouble with the galloping pick chicken.
Okay. new nickname for Jimmy Garoppolo.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
Yeah, it's got to be that.
They're going unbeaten. 19-0, I'm in.
Thanks, Mass.
He's going to suck.
Good. I like Maz's laugh too.
Oh, see, I like moist.
Okay, I'd say Bob Lee in that last Maz.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
Number 10, Greg Bedard. Who would you rather have to quarterback your team, Jay Cutler or Colin Kaepernick?
If I'm Adam Gase, Jay Cutler, because he's been in my offense and I know he can operate it.
What if you're another team?
Cutler. Just because, you know, he's been in different offenses. You know that he can actually at times decipher what coverage is. Kaepernick, just to this point, part of the problem why he has not been signed is because when you watch him play, you don't see any development in terms of him studying teams ahead of time, knowing what to do with the ball. He's shown no development with that. And so I would have a tough time with it.
Okay, I'd go Kaepernick. I think Jay Cutler, as I said yesterday, is one of the great losers in the league of our generation.
Yeah, outside of the Dolphins gay situation where I would take Cutler, I would take Kaepernick. Guy's been to the Super Bowl, won playoff games.
Oh, see, I like Moist.
Okay, number nine, here's your Patriots defensive question. It's kicked off by Vikings defensive tackle Tom Johnson. He said Minnesota will have the best defense in the league this year. Okay, I ask you, Greg, first, who actually does have the best defense in the league?
I think it's still going to be Seattle. I think they're just too talented. I think Sherman was beat up last year. There's been a lot of people doubting whether he can still be a top cornerback. I think he's going to have a great season. I just think top to bottom, they are just stacked.
It's still Seattle.
Yep.
Okay, top defense in the league. Next. Number eight, where do the Patriots rank on your list? Give me your top five.
My top five is Seattle, the Giants, the Vikings, and then I have a group of three that are really close. The Patriots, the Broncos, and the Texans. I think they're all sort of together, and it depends on health.
Wow, so you think the Patriots have really improved? Because last year they were not as good as the Broncos or the Houston Texans on defense.
Yeah, I think the whole X factor in this for their defense is what do they do at left end? The more I watch this team, I still think these guys, whether it's Wise or Longy, I think they're placeholders for Dante Hightower. I think he's going to be in the mix there a lot. I think that makes them a lot better. And then once they get Branch back with, you know, Lawrence Guy has been dynamite on the inside. They have some good young rushers. I think they're going to be a lot better. But the edge, the pass rush, can they be better there this year? That's going to tell whether they're good or not.
To that caller's question last segment, what do you think of the Patriots' defense last year?
I agree with them. I think that they had by the end of the year, according to statistical places like footballoutsiders.com, they went against the easiest schedule in the year, in the league. And Football Outsiders had them for being the 16th defense overall, 5th against the run, 22nd against the pass. I think they were a little bit better than that. I would say somewhere around 10, but I think that's where they were.
I would agree. I think talent-wise, that was not one of the great Patriots defenses for sure, not one of the great Patriots teams. When you talk about their past championship teams, this defense this year could and should be better. Next.
He's going to suck.
Okay, number six, Carlton Norwell, as you just heard, is saying that the Patriots will be looking up at the Bills in the AFC East this season. I know you obviously don't agree, but the question is, are the Bills going to be any good?
I think they're going to be better this year for a couple reasons. Number one, I think that Sean McDermott, the new head coach, is actually a real coach. He's followed the path that you should have in this league, where you're an assistant for years, you're a coordinator for years, and then you get your shot. Not Sean McVay off of like 1 year being an offensive coordinator of the Redskins, for crying out loud. McDermott has paid his dues. This is how you're supposed to do things in this league. He has put together a tremendous staff, very experienced, and I think, you know, they have some players. I think the big question for them is, on paper, they're a hot mess in the secondary. You know, now that Gilmore's gone, they swapped out. They have two new safeties who, you know, really haven't been starters anywhere else. They're asking a lot. But if those guys can somehow come together, and guys like McCoy and Sammy Watkins and now Bolden's there, if they can all stay healthy, they have a chance to be pretty good. Good offensive line there.
They signed two fullbacks. That was one of their big offseason moves. Fullbacks. Like, it's 1988. That's what's going to help their offense. They'll be 7-9.
You guys are in deep, deep trouble with the galloping pick checks.
Speaking of Carlton, K5, tool bag time, our standard question, our tool bag question. Now that Jay Cutler is back in the league, I ask you, who is the biggest tool bag quarterback in the NFL? And if it's Cutler, I need your number two.
I went with Russell Wilson.
Really?
Oh!
Just because...
He's not a tool bag, he's just weird.
Yeah, well, I meant it in that way. Like, you know, the whole go Hawks at the end of his press conferences, and I don't know, his cliches and... He annoys me.
Brock Osweiler. He lacks self-awareness, getting into it with the coaching staff in Houston, Bill O'Brien last year, and now he's like almost being forced into the role, I think reluctantly, as the starter in Cleveland. He doesn't know his ass from his elbow, that kid.
This question coming up in a second, it's Cutler. It's Cutler by a long shot.
Well, he's the go-to.
I mean, he's the standard bearer for tool bag quarterbacks in that league. Standard bearer. Next. Okay, number four. You've been all over the league, Bedard, in your years covering the NFL. In your opinion, what is the best, most fun training camp environment for the fans and media?
The one I'm going to answer, I've never been there. But from what I hear, it's the Steelers at St. Vincent College. I've always wanted to go there, see a night practice when they're popping the pads, but I've never been there. Green Bay's pretty good itself, and I spent a lot of time there.
So why? What does Pittsburgh do that's so special?
Well, first of all, they're one of these teams that goes away. They go to St. Vincent College in La Trobe, and so they're away. They're staying on the college campus. You know, you see players riding by in bikes. I mean, that whole cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, so but I just like when teams go away for a couple weeks and do that thing. And I think I like the destination training camps.
The hell it isn't, Tom.
Okay, number three, along the same lines, what's the worst training camp environment and why?
The worst I've been to is probably Cincinnati. But in general, you could say any team that trains at their own stadium facility, I just think is lame. You know, I liked how the Patriots used to be at Bryant College. I just think that's a cool experience for the fans where, you know, trudging over to Gillette is not as cool. But I will say, I think the Patriots, for being at home, it's a decent experience.
Okay, next.
They're going unbeaten, 19-0, I'm in.
Should Jerry Jones be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Any guys on the induction list from last week who you feel are undeserving?
I think that the criteria that they use for him as a contributor to the National Football League, yes, he should be in, because he completely changed the business of the NFL, and he altered it forever. TV contracts, sponsorships, everything. So he has certainly had an impact. As an owner, just as an owner, no, he should not be in. And as far as guys, I've been out of the loop with the Patriots, but I don't know exactly who went in, but Terrell Davis does not deserve to be in. And there was somebody else who was part of that class. That
sure.
Was
okay.
Kurt
so,
Warner.
So I'm glad.
Kurt Warner. No.
I'm glad.
I'm on no on both of them.
Okay. So here's the class. Morton Anderson, the kicker.
Yes.
Terrell Davis.
No.
Kenny Easley, the safety from
yes.
Seattle. Jerry Jones. Jason Taylor, the D-end in Miami.
Shouldn't have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, but a Hall of Famer.
LaDainian Tomlinson, Chargers and Jets.
Yes.
Kurt Warner.
No.
Okay. I'm with you. No Terrell.
Too short.
No Terrell Davis, Kurt Warner. Okay. So here's the two things. Terrell Davis. And I just have it here in front of me. I just had to look it up. Guess how many 1,000-yard rushing seasons he had?
Two.
He had four.
Oh, okay.
But that's still ridiculously low. Four? Only four times? He was only in the league 7 years. And he only had four seasons of 1,000 yards or more. And one was as a rookie when he gained 1,100 yards, which is like, you know, big deal.
Was that 96? He was still dominant that year.
In 95 was his rookie season.
Okay,
95. So he obviously won a couple of Super Bowls, and he did rush for 2,000 yards. But after he rushed for 2,000 yards in 1998, his last 3 years, he ran for 200, 200, 700.
He had a really bad injury there that kind of derailed everything.
Of course, he had a concussion problem. I mean, maybe not his fault, but it was a seven-year career, and only 4 years did he rush for 1,000 yards or more. So this is when we say, if Rob Gronkowski got hit by a bus right now, would he be a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Based on Terrell Davis, yes. Gronkowski has to be. Terrell Davis, no way. And, you know, I'm not going to look it up now, but do it on your own when you have time. Look up Kurt Warner outdoors and Kurt Warner indoors. When he's outdoors, he's just a guy. He played for the Giants. Whenever he was on the road with St. Louis and Arizona, look at his outdoor numbers. They suck. And never mind a Hall of Famer. He was below average. He's blue when he had to play outside.
Still won two MVPs, two Super Bowls in 3 years.
Yeah, playing arena ball. I mean, when he's inside perfect conditions, I am.
He had three great seasons once he got the starting job, and then he finished up strong with Arizona his last couple years. But between that, he wins the MVP, I think, in 2001, and then next year he's 0-6 with three touchdowns and 11 interceptions. I think he lost his job.
Yeah, to Mark Bulger in 02.
Yeah, in 02.
Thank you.
How are you a Hall of Famer
Thank
if that
you.
Happens in your
Thank
prime?
You. It's just too easy to get. Terrell Davis, please give me a break.
Oh, see, I like moist.
Okay, Maz, final question. Fill in the blank. The most annoying part of Patriots training camp is?
Now, I will say this.
That's
not
an answer.
No,
I mean, fill in the blank.
No. I'm not sucking up, because I actually, being back there every day, I actually think it's gotten pretty decent. I haven't had before. I used to have a lot of complaints. I don't have that many complaints right now, but I would say
So let me start over.
Okay.
Fill in the blank. The most annoying part of Patriots training camp is?
Most interviews turn into gangbangs. You guys know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You can't talk to anybody.
But I have gotten guys on the side, so it's been okay. But sometimes it's just, you know, you're trying to get well, not Brady. You know Brady's going to be a bunch of people around. But, you know, sometimes it devolves into that. So that can be a little bit annoying. But I will say, it's been pretty good. And it's not like, you know, we're posting videos, and according to the NFL, we're not supposed to keep it up for more than two. And the Patriots haven't complained. They used to be sticklers for that stuff, and they've been pretty cool about it. So I don't have any big complaints.
Okay, 10 questions in the books. Right back to your calls, I promise. You've been waiting. Hang on. You want to jump in and talk football with Bedard? Anything we just covered, anything we've covered today, now's your chance. 617-779-0985.
Felger and Maz. Radio.com. Radio.com. This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Maz.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cameron Fleming, he's like an old MBTA turnstile. You put a token and you go right by him. I hope he doesn't make the team this year. I know last year they had him like a third offensive lineman on the goal line, but that's it. They should give more reps to the rookie Garcia with Sozo hurt. But you guys, I heard you and Bedard were comparing Brandon Cooks to Deion Branch. I think Brandon Cooks is a lot better, can be a lot better than Branch. Don't get me wrong, Branch is a great Patriot, showed up in the big games, but Cooks is a lot faster.
I'm just going to cut you off, Anthony. More explosive?
Oh, no question. I mean, that's what the guy does. He ran a 4.3 at the combine, and that's the type of speed that he has, and it's just a question of, you know, is he as can he figure out coverages as well and be as smart of a player as Deion Branch was? Because I think that's where he really stood out. You know, as far as the tackles, Garcia has been, he was not out there today. He's been a little bit hurt, but I think that's one of the big questions. Can that young kid, who looks a little thin, maybe not strong enough for NFL play yet, do they feel confident enough that he can be the swing guy and get rid of both Waddle and Fleming?
Sully and Winthrop on the Brady concussion story. Hi, Sully.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought you said Brady might have had 3 or 4 over his career.
Well, I never put a number on it. I think he's had multiple. Over a half dozen would be my guess.
Okay. But then, aren't they supposed to put it on the injury report?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And anyway, you guys have a great show, and it was great that ex-Governor Christie was on the show with you guys today, too.
Okay, babe, I appreciate it. Is that a remark about Bedard?
Unless it's me. I have been eating more.
You're bringing the nachos there, yeah. Bedard? Yeah, Mike and Woburn on the Hall of Fame. Go ahead, Mike.
Hold on one second. Just before. So the Buffalo Bills are now Carlton's new team?
Yeah.
Yeah, them and the Bucks.
The single most cursed location for sports and athletics in the United States, and that's the location that our nut job in the woods is going.
Correct.
In the cabin is going to back up.
That's right.
Yeah, I would, if they bought an aircraft, it would be like the Hindenburg. I would now that Carlton's prognostication abilities are backing them, I would invest heavily in bus and rail travel. I would not want to leave terra firma one bit now that Carlton has championed the Buffalo Bills as his franchise to dethrone the Pats. Can you list off the names of the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees again? One of these is not quite like the others, if you remember that old Sesame Street game.
Sure. So I just close it down. But Kurt Warner, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor, the defensive end for Miami, Jerry Jones, easily the safety from Seattle, and who am I leaving off? Kurt Warner and Terrell Davis.
Anderson.
And Morton Anderson, the kicker.
Oh, a kicker. Oh, so the kicker belongs more than Terrell Davis or Kurt Warner? Is that what you're insinuating?
No, I'd keep them all three. I'd keep all three off. But I do think Adam Vinatieri should be a Hall of Famer.
Yes, because Adam Vinatieri had done something that amounted to a team actually accomplishing something. Mort Anderson might be the most well-traveled guy that you remember for absolutely nothing in terms of kickers. Like, he got into a Super Bowl because the other kicker who hadn't missed all season loaded up his drawers and laid a hot Carlton in the Hugo Humphrey dome over there
in Minneapolis.
Exactly.
And then didn't Morton Anderson get into the Super Bowl and chunk like a 24-yard field goal or something early in that game when he got into against the Broncos? I think he did.
A kicker folding under pressure. Shocker. I mean, the most famous kick that I know was the one he shanked so that a 9-7 Jaguars team could make the playoffs. If you want to talk about a guy who's completely and utterly mediocre and ordinary and just hung around for a while because he was a Euro who could kick the ball straight while 10 guys in front of him got CTE so he could kick the ball through two posts. You're talking about Morton Anderson. To put him up there with other guys that actually played the sport is an embarrassment. But if you want to talk about that, you got to talk to the Scientologists that vote for the Pro Hall of Fame there. Wait, you ever talk to Borges about the voting process?
Yes.
Good luck getting any of the secrets from the Stonecutters. Those guys are hopeless.
Okay, thanks, Mike. It's true. Morton Anderson, no way. No way. As a kicker, you got to be Adam Vinatieri, basically. You know, I don't know if there's another kicker that I would consider other than Adam Vinatieri. Certainly not Morton Anderson. And as Mike just said, he just kicked forever. That's all. Leno in the truck on the Patriots. Go ahead, Leno.
Hey, the Seahawks thing on defense, absolutely overrated. I cannot stand the Seahawks thing. They're old. It's too much. And also, if Terrell Davis makes the Hall of Fame, then Corey Dillon better be like a shoo-in then.
So I haven't done the comps there, but I don't know. My guess is Corey Dillon had more 1,000-yard seasons than Terrell Davis did. That's just a guess. I don't know. We can look it up.
Lower his playoff numbers, though, because Terrell Davis gets in. If you look up his playoff numbers, I think that's one of the main reasons he ultimately ends up getting in.
Which I'm actually okay with. I'm okay with waiting playoff performance, but good Lord, 4 1,000-yard seasons, and that's it?
I know it's a small sample size, but I know as a Patriots fan, I feared that guy during his reign when he was like the best running back in the NFL.
Okay, Corey Dillon played 10 years to Terrell Davis's 7. Corey Dillon had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 1,000-yard seasons. Set a record here with the Patriots that 1 year. He also won a championship with the Patriots. So, I don't know. It's a good point. If Terrell Davis is in, Corey Dillon's in. I don't think Corey Dillon was a Hall of Famer either.
I agree with you on both counts.
By the way, Seattle defense, you defend your pick there as they're being the best defense in the league. They haven't gotten old?
I don't think so. I mean, I still think that they're one of the best. They added a couple of guys like Ruben on the inside. They have the kid, Jerron Reed, who was a rookie last year. He should be better on the interior. They've been a little bit weak at defensive tackle the past year or two. But I still think, you know, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Thomas is going to be back at full strength. The safety, he makes the total difference in that defense. I think it's easy to say they're old and write them off. I think that's wrong.
Ralph and Methuen, go ahead.
Hi. One quick question was, do you think in 3 years we can get a number one pick for our backup plane?
I don't get it totally, but...
Well, but I, my main question is, so far, Gilmore has been gotten outplayed by... Malcolm Butler, and before I even heard of Gilmore, I would have said Malcolm Butler was a better player. I'm wondering if they go through the whole season and Malcolm Butler is obviously still a better player than Gilmore, what do you think are the Patriots going to give him any kind of where near the money that they gave Gilmore? Are they going to be able to do that?
Okay, so that's a great question. I mean, they can. You can do whatever you want. If you just pick your spots, they could pick that spot and give Malcolm Butler the money. Does it mean, what do you think the long-term future is there, Greg? And I've also heard things about Butler being maybe a little standoffish at camp, where he's usually in it with his teammates, and this year he's sort of on an island, if you will. Have you sensed that?
I will say that was my initial reaction, like the first couple days. I was watching him pretty closely, and his body language was, it's all business now. It wasn't a happy-go-lucky young Malcolm anymore. It's business. He was not talking to his teammates between drills with, you know, when the cornerbacks were working on things. It was very sort of cold. I will say that has gotten better since then. You will see him and Gilmore laughing and things like that. But I will say I think he came in with the attitude, like, I have a chip on my shoulder. I don't like how things are going on. But I think it's sort of subsided a little bit.
Okay, and why do you think he's better than Gilmore? Do you think he's a better pure corner skills, or just the compete that takes him over the top?
I think it's both. I think that... You know, Butler, his cover skills are just, you know, off the charts. His foot speed, the way he reads plays. He made a play today where he undercut a ball where it's just pure instinct. Whereas Gilmore is a little bit more mechanical. He's longer. He relies on – he has more athletic skills than Malcolm Butler. So he relies on those. But he's very handsy. Today we saw him have a pass interference penalty. We've seen that a lot in camp. So that's one of the things, once the games start, he might get a few flags thrown his way.
Okay, long commercial-free segment next. It's the last with Bedard to weigh in on some football, so we'll take some more calls. And I have a giveaway for you for free right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Radio.com.
Radio.com. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, I was just wondering, hello?
Yes, you're up.
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering, last night I was watching Boston Sports Tonight, and they're saying how great the Patriots would be if they were an NFC, say, North, going up against Rodgers twice a year, Stafford, Minnesota. Do you think they'd still be as good?
They'd be amazing. They'd win that division, but, you know, I don't think we'd be talking 16-0.
No.
How's that? I mean, so... I mean, what I mean, I don't know. I didn't see it. Like, are they making the case they'd be the same odds on favorite? It'd be the exact same if they were in that division. I don't think so. I think they'd win the division. I think they'd still be a Super Bowl contender for sure. They're the best team in the league, but there would just be more opportunity for things to happen, and something would probably happen this year. Has the gap ever been bigger, Greg? As bad as it's been these past 17 years between where the Patriots are now and the rest of the division, has it ever been worse? Think about it, Murray. Has it ever been worse?
No. I don't think it has.
No.
I mean, especially because, you know, Rex was here for a while, and those games were usually competitive.
Pesky.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Jets aren't going to be pesky. Miami just...
Oh, and the Jets even lost their best offensive player yesterday in Quincy Enunwa. Like, they're a lock to go 0-16,
yeah.
1-15.
They are tanking, so they're, you know, even less of a factor than usual. Not even an outside chance of being pesky. Miami just... signed the biggest bum at the position in the league, in my opinion. The ultimate loser. And Buffalo.
Buffalo has the longest playoff drought in North American professional sports.
Thank you. They've not made the playoffs this century. 1999. So, like, I mean, I don't know. The Patriots, this is one of the better teams they've had, it feels like, on paper. So, I mean, I don't know if the gap's ever been worse.
I mean, we're still talking about a division where Chad Pennington is still probably the second-best quarterback to play in this division during Brady's time.
What's been, one of our producers pointed this out, what's been the second best coach quarterback combo since 2000, since Brady and Belichick got going?
Probably Fredo and Pennington, to me.
Mangini Pennington?
Yeah.
Someone said Gase Cutler.
Oh, God. I mean, Rex Early Sanchez? Maybe.
I think Mangini and Pennington. Were they together in New York?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah. Favre was there also.
They came here and beat you. That last year was the last game on grass.
Favre was good for like half a season that year.
Right.
Mangini. He was really good, and then his arm gave out.
You don't think it was Rex Sanchez? I really think it was.
Well,
that
it's just...
the first 2 years.
Except Rex didn't do
it. It was more
the
about the defense. Yeah.
I know, it's close. I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The second best coach quarterback combo to come through here might have been Pennington Mangini or Rex Mark Sanchez. Think of that.
Thanks.
Saban Culpepper?
No.
Sounds good on paper. No, it's bad. So, I mean, you can't. The Patriots would win whatever division they're in.
Gus Frat.
That's obvious.
Oh, God.
They'd win whatever division, but you can't say that the division hasn't been a factor. But old Patriots fans really don't like that commentary. They hate it. Ronnie in Cambridge, what do you got, Ronnie?
As the old adage says, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics. And that's my single biggest problem with the Hall of Fames in the four majors, okay? Because I'm constantly hearing about Hall of Fame numbers, Hall of Fame numbers, Hall of Fame numbers. I don't believe in Hall of Fame numbers. I believe in Hall of Fame statistics. I mean, I'm sorry, credentials,
right.
Okay? And in the case of Terrell Davis, and Kurt Warner. You know what? If Terrell Davis did what he did for the Baltimore Ravens, the Chicago Bears, or the Seattle Seahawks, you know what? Maybe you got a case. But he did it for the Denver Broncos and John Elway, a franchise and a quarterback that knew nothing but Super Bowl frustration, and he removed it. And as far as Kurt Warner goes, I think there was open debate as to whether he was a Hall of Fame quarterback until Super Bowl 43. And not getting there may not have put him over the top, but I thought his performance in Super Bowl 43, put him over the top. And he didn't win that game. I don't believe in numbers. Give me the credentials. Why did it take 16 years for Lynn Swann to get into the Hall of
Shouldn't
Fame
be in.
If you're a 16-year-old kid in 1974 and a 20-year-old man in 1980?
Okay,
please.
Hold on. Lynn Swann, not a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely not.
He averaged like two catches a game or something.
Yes. He started the floodgates on this mediocre Hall of Fame thing. It's now the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame is turning into the Major League Hall of Fame. I mean, just guys who shouldn't be there. It should be the elite of the elite.
Thank you. The elite of the elite. Terrell Davis was elite for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But you've got to, I mean, you've got to define a generation. You've got to define a period of time. That's just not enough.
But if you were truly dominant in that small period, for me, that gets you in. If you were like one of those players that just, I was like, oh my God, you're going to come in here and get destroyed.
So
by
you think
that
he
guy.
Should be?
Yeah, I do. Especially if you look at the playoff numbers too. And there's some ridiculous stat too that I saw about him. And that's, it's him and Jim Brown. This is right here. So since 1950, two running backs with 3,000-plus yards averaged 100-plus career yards a game. It's Jim Brown and Terrell Davis. So, I mean, that kind of thing. Like, if you want to get into just the stats argument.
Yeah, but you also have to give up for their offensive line. I mean, with, you know, that zone blocking scheme. I mean, it was the offensive line. They could play Orlando Gary and all these guys.
But that I don't do. And you're right, because every running back that came after him, I mean, you're right. But then I got to think that about Emmitt Smith or, you know, like, that's I don't do that. I don't hold his offensive line against him. But you just got to do it more than 4 years. It's just not a big enough sample. But that's good news for Gronkowski. That means he's in. Mike and Lawrence on Stephen Gilmore. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello?
Yes, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. I actually went to camp today and saw Stephen Gilmore, and he was just getting burnt by Lee, and he was getting burnt by Robinson. He actually had a pass interference call. Against Robinson, and just looked like garbage out there.
What'd you think about Gilmore? Is garbage too strong of a word?
I think it's too strong. I saw some good play out of him, but yeah, there were a couple plays where he had some issues, and we talked about the pass interference penalty. But I think overall he's been good, and I think he's been an upgrade over, like, say, Logan Ryan.
Okay, how's the site going?
It's going really well. Yep, steady progress.
BostonSportsJournal.com. It's a subscription only. It's only $35 a year. And let me just give you a personal endorsement. I think it's worth it. I do. For several reasons. It's just good, solid, nuts and bolts reporting. But I like the clean internet experience. And today I've also discovered I can actually print your articles.
Yep.
Which is like another, like,
where you don't get the ads and everything else coming it all up.
Try and print. A lot of websites, I don't even have a print function. You can't even, you've just got to sort of going raw, if you know what I mean. Just press the button up in the left hand. We just print and print what's ever on the page.
And one story is 10 pages.
And then, right, there's 10 pages, or the columns aren't right, or there's a video. But I like that. That's when I shut the thing down. I'm not going to print your story.
We had a problem with that at first, but we got it fixed, and now there's a good print button where you can get a nice, clean printout.
But, like, this whole thing, like, it didn't register to me when Greg was describing his site. There's no pop-up ads. There's no videos. You can print the effing thing. It's not like all mucked up. It doesn't take a steaming dump on my computer. It just pops up a story and you read it.
And the apps are now available for Android and Apple.
Oh,
no, the Apple is. The Android is not. We're waiting.
Look at what I did. Look at, you said it. You know, I'm not someone who downloads apps.
Yep.
There it is, Bedard.
Oh, someone joined the future.
I downloaded your app. There it is. All right. I was very excited. Nice. I was very excited. I got to read Sean McAdam from the West Coast. I was like, yeah.
And you finally got rid of the BlackBerry. Nice.
Well, I'm so cheap that the company made me get rid of the BlackBerry, so it was either this or buy my own BlackBerry.
That's disappointing.
So
we're going to do an Instagram special video and have Greg Bedard download the app on your phone.
Yes, we were going to do that.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, it's already done. Bedard, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.